This is episode 83. It's called Inclusion Delusion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another season of A Very Bright Life. We planned to start back at it last week, but you know, life had other plans. However, we are back now, baby, and we are excited to be here. And as we're just kind of tippy-toeing, commando crawling back into the whole school routine, parents and teachers are busy talking to their kids in classes about kindness and inclusion and treating everybody with respect. And they're talking about the topic of empathy and how to just accept everyone for who they are, differences and all. And I thought that this would be the perfect time to dive headfirst into a topic that's been on my mind and in my heart. That's so cheesy. And I've called this episode Inclusion Delusion. It also could have been called the Inclusion Illusion. I can't help with the rhyme. It's becoming an issue. The idea of inclusion is solid because everybody wants to feel wanted. Everybody wants to be included in the fun and to belong. Excuse me? The dog has something to say about that. You're not included, Ruby. She's growling at the cat. Anyway, belonging, just feeling like you're wanted and you're included. That's inclusion. And the concept is solid, but the reality of inclusion, the actual reality, looks a little different. And we've experienced our fair share of oh my God, help me, Rhonda. We have been excluded. And what the hell? Okay. You know what? I just ate an obscene amount of ice cream as a little treat for nothing. I deserve no treats. And my tongue is slightly frozen, so I'm just going to blame it on that. Let me try that again. I'm trying to say that we've been blessed with inclusion, but we've also had some very exclusionary things happen lately. And so I thought that by talking about it, that we could help educate families. And by sharing our perspective, like, we can also support atypical families and sort of prepare their families for what their disabled kiddos might encounter if they haven't already. So the main message of this entire episode, and I'm just going to front load it in here in case you don't make it to the end, because, like, I get it. It's busy days, but this is the only point that I would really like people to hear. When we force our kids to include everyone, it's not actually inclusion. So that's pretty deep. Oh dear God, now the cat's here. Okay, I'm just going to soldier through because I got stuff to do. I'm going to a meeting at 2:00. What time is it? Holy shit. We, all of us, have been celebrating this whole choose to include thing, and we have the best of intentions. But here's the reality. Inclusion isn't a natural instinct. It's really not. I'd even argue that exclusion is our default. So we tell our kids to include the disabled kids and, you know, be friends with the shy kids and be nice to the quirky kids. But guess what? Nobody wants to be included just because somebody's mom told them to do it, right? Forced inclusion, I think, is worser than being excluded, I think. So what do? I don't know, but we're going to talk about it.
Hey everyone, it's A Very Bright Life.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear shades.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
Hello, Avery.
Hi, Mom.
How was your summer?
It was amazing.
Really? What were some of your highlights?
I did a work prep And then I went to my friend's house. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the cottage. What is your favorite parts of the summer, Lisa?
My favorite parts of the summer were kind of like yours. Watching you go to work prep was really cool. And going kayaking and going to the cottage with some friends. And spending time with you and Dad and Sebastian. And having friends over for games night and stuff like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was good. I can't believe it's over. Would you say that you spent more time with your neighborhood friends this summer or your school friends?
My school friends. And my chair friends and my disabled friends.
And your disabled friends. Interesting. So yeah, speaking of friends, this topic today is a little bit about that. It's about friend groups and figuring out where we feel safe and loved and appreciated with our friends and our playmates. So I'm going to chat a little bit about that, and then we'll see you back here at the end of the episode. Is that okay?
Yes.
We've all seen those Instagram or TikTok posts about inclusion with those heartwarming little quotes and those feel-good memes with the sappy music and all that, with the hashtag choose to include or hashtag be kind or different is beautiful, you know, the ones. And they make you smile and feel warm and fuzzy, and so you double tap on them and you drop a few heart emojis about it. But here's the real deal. Teaching our neurotypical kids about inclusion is more than just scrolling through your feed and then saying, okay, now go ask Avery to play basketball with you or whatever. Because I can tell you that that doesn't work. What it does is make the neurotypical kids feel resentful. And, you know, they did what their mom asked them to do, but guess who takes the brunt of their frustration for being told what to do and being told to do something that they didn't choose to do on their own? My kid gets the brunt of it. So now when Avery and I come home from, let's say, I don't know, a bike ride, and Avery spots the basketball kid and her friend playing out front, naturally Avery wants to join them, but a huge shocker, they don't ask her to play with them. Instead, they tell a fib and they say something like, oh, sorry, Avery, we have to go inside now and do our homework. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling them out. I mean, it was super bitchy, but I was a bit mad at them at the time. But I do get it. I understand it. Because here we are telling our kids, choose to include. We're telling them to include, but we're not giving them the tools or the foundation to be able to do that. It's fine to say choose to include, but how do you implement true inclusion when you don't understand why and how and that stuff? Deep thoughts over here. At the beginning of the summer, Avery was out on our driveway and she was drawing stuff with chalk, and two of her typical neighborhood friends strolled by. And so Avery perked up and she's like, hey, can I play with you? Because, you know, it's action. It's like connections. She loves that stuff. And so they stopped and they talked to her, and they were really sweet and everything. And they spoke to her kindly and all of that. But they told her that they were going to go over to the one girl's house because they had something really important that they had to get done inside. And sorry, Avery, but you can't come right now, but maybe another time. So fine. But then 5 minutes later, I look down the street and I see the two of them playing together out in the front yard. And I'm really glad that Avery didn't see that, because that would have been super hurtful. Because unlike when she was a bit younger and didn't understand really what was going on, she gets it now mostly, and she knows when she's being left out, and it sucks. It super sucks. So Avery saw the basketball girl outside yesterday, and I asked her, I said, hey, you know, so-and-so is outside. Do you want to go out and play with her? And she was like, no, I just want to stay in and play with you. And that's unusual. And I'm not going to lie, it kind of broke me a little bit because, you know, she was protecting herself from the disappointment and I don't, maybe even like the embarrassment of being excluded. And that is a tough reality. It's a tough reality for her, but it's also a bit of a tough reality for me. I was actually just saying to a friend yesterday that even though we've been through this exact scenario a bajillion times, like every time a typical friend of Avery matures beyond Avery's cognitive age, if you know what I mean, this happens. They kind of develop to a point where they're no longer interested in being friends with Avery. And it hurts every single freaking time. And you'd think that I would be used to it by now, but I'm not. It's never easy. I think parenting disabled kids, like the challenges that we encounter, a lot of them just tend to repeat in cycles. And anyway, I'm not trying to make it about me and how I had a little cry in the laundry room yesterday after that because I didn't want Avery to see or hear me. I'm just saying that it can be hard. But again, I'm not blaming these kids. I'm really not. And yes, before you message me to say, you should talk to their parents. You should tell the parents. They need to learn. I know. And I have. I texted Basketball Girl's mom back when this first started happening. And the mom was horrified. And she was super apologetic. And I swear within 5 minutes of sending that text, Basketball Girl was at our door asking Avery to come out and play. But forced inclusion. Like I said, it's worse than inclusion in the long run. So, I mean, here's this kid being scolded by her mom for leaving Avery out, and her punishment is having to go call on her neighbor. And like, how do you think that's going to go? Not well, not well at all. But inclusion is the goal because typical kids are missing out on not really knowing and connecting with atypical kids. Truly. Everyone has value, you know? So, yeah, but it can't be forced. It can be guided, yes. Forced, no. Hard no on that. So here are some tips for both sides that might help. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Inclusion is just, it's just so worth it. So I think it's worth trying. Okay, so to the parents of typical kids, you already know this. You don't need me to tell you this, but just as a reminder, it all starts with empathy. You can tell a kid to be inclusive, but as we've learned, it doesn't work like that. Inclusion is founded in empathy and caring and curiosity and probably some other things. So we need to start there. And you can teach your kids all of those things. And if you do a good job, then inclusion can become a more natural instinct. So how do you do that? Well, just start talking, like really talking about empathy early when your kids are like babies, and celebrate differences and use inclusive language, use age-appropriate language. And it's hard to keep up. I know language changes so quickly, but just do the best you can. And most importantly of all, just lead by example, because kids are copycats. They watch and they learn from grown-ups. So just try to be the inclusion role model that your kid needs you to be. So let's say you're chilling on the couch with your kids and you're about to watch a movie like Wonder. Have you seen Wonder? So lovely. There's a main character who has a facial difference. And so watch it. And then after the movie, maybe dig into some of the deep stuff. You can say something like, hey, what did you think about how that character's face was different? How do you think it affected their life? Or like, you know, why do you think accepting people for who they are is so important? Or you could even make it more personal and say, do you know anybody at your school who might look a little bit different? Just stuff like that. And you do not need to make a big deal of it. And every movie doesn't need to be some giant teachable moment or whatever. But any opportunity to start an empathy-boosting conversation, you know, just take it. And here's something else that you can try as a family, whether you're a typical family or an atypical family. Have a strengths and challenges conversation. That's a terrible title. Don't use that. I need to think of something catchy. I don't have anything catchy, but so imagine you and your whole family, whether you have children with disabilities or not, you're sitting around the table, having dinner. Ha! Like as if we ever do that, maybe once a week, if that. Anyway, it doesn't have to be during a meal, but take a chance to sort of round robin around the table, share something that you were awesome at. So you could be like, I'm really good at drawing. And then you could, you know, hold up something that you drew. I'm terrible at drawing. Or Avery might say, I'm really great at telling jokes. And then she'll tell one of her jokes or something. And then you can switch over and say, I find it challenging too. And I would probably say, speak in full sentences. I'm really struggling. Or your child might say, I find it very challenging to do up my shoelaces or whatever. So having these little personal insights helps your kids understand that differences are like, and here comes a very ridiculously cheesy metaphor, but, or maybe it's a simile, I don't know. Differences are like a potluck dinner. Everyone brings something unique to the table. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget about language, of course, and the tone that you use. So let's say you're out for a walk and your child has a question or a comment about a wheelchair that they saw at the park. Just keep it simple. You don't have to over-explain it. You can just say, oh yeah, that's just a cool tool that helps someone get around when their legs work differently. You know, keep it easy, keep it positive, keep it light. Because differences, whether they're physical differences or intellectual differences or gender or whatever, they shouldn't be taboo topics. They should not be sensationalized topics, because if adults make it weird, which we sometimes do, then kids are going to wonder why, what's so unusual? Is this like a big deal? It's not. What else do I want to talk about? What's happening with my throat? It's the ice cream. Anyway, over the years, I have written a whole bunch of posts about inclusion, and I've posted them on the blog and other places. And I've talked about how and why you should try to include disabled folks. And I still feel like most of that information or those opinions are accurate and mostly true, but I am questioning some of it, like not the why of inclusion, but more about the how. And I'm coming to understand more and more that inclusion isn't natural, as I've said, and that because of that, we shouldn't push it. Like, don't force your child to befriend the disabled classmate. I think it's better instead to just try to create opportunities for all kinds of interactions with kids from a bunch of different groups, including kids with differences. You can obviously set up play dates and try joining inclusive community activities, you know, like go just all the good stuff. And then those friendships, I think, will be kind of like a masterclass in inclusion. And on that note, your child doesn't need to like everyone. Like, just because one of their peers has disabilities, it doesn't automatically make them their bestie. Like, we are all drawn to different personality types, and that's totally okay too. Like, maybe basketball girl just doesn't find Avery very interesting, you know? And I don't mean like it's okay for them to be rude, but it's also okay not to be drawn to the kid in the wheelchair, you know? Not because of the wheelchair, but because perhaps they talk nonstop about dinosaurs and you have zero interest in dinosaurs. So that's totally normal, and we need to normalize that as well. But giving your child ample opportunities to interact with kids across the spectrum, plus that spectrum, plus arming them with real-world experiences in empathy and curiosity and gratitude, I think that gives your child a much better chance at growing up to be a caring and innately inclusive person. And that's what we're totally going for. Oh, and I think I do need to take a second to just clarify, because I don't think I've said this. These lessons and conversations and experiences are not reserved specifically for typical kids. All kids can benefit from learning about empathy and developing the skills to be inclusive, because just because you have disabilities or you're neurodivergent or whatever, it doesn't mean that you're naturally an inclusive person. I've been on the front lines of some of the interactions at Avery's school within her program, and there have been some social guffaws, let me just say. And so, yeah, all people can definitely learn to be more inclusive. So I just wanted to make sure that I was clear about that. And just a little note to all the caregivers out there who are raising kids with differences. Inclusion is the goal, but we are not there yet, obviously. Inclusion is still very much a delusion, especially in the tween and teen years. It's, it's sad, but it's true. But don't give up. There are still plenty of spaces where your atypical child can hang out with typical kids. And there are definitely some very emotionally evolved younger kids who will make the effort. And so it's worthwhile to keep trying. But also, you can help your child to start forging more friendships with their atypical peers. Like, Avery has a super solid foundation of friends who just get her. She knows these kids and young adults from her Cheer Abilities team and from her Community Pathways program at school and from like a variety of community programs specifically for disabled kids. And then also from connections that I've made with other parents in our disability community. So the moms become friends and then the kids become friends. And it's Avery's made some best friends this way. And she can be 100% herself with these friends, and I can be 100% myself with my mom friends, because they understand and they love us and they accept us, and her friends accept her for who she is. And so it's important to develop those groups. Some of these friends I think that Avery has made in her younger years, I think she will, we've got big plans to, eventually they'll be roommates and be young adults together. So that's the plan anyway. So yeah, I guess I just wanted to say that inclusion pretty much starts at home. And you as parents, you have the power to shape your child's perspective, shape their perspective, maybe just guide their perspective, something like that. Inclusion isn't just a buzzword or a meme. It's a way of life. It should be a way of life. So yeah, that's all I want to say about that. So thank you for tuning in to A Very Bright Life. So until next time, just keep being the awesome advocates that you are. Okay, Avery, do you have a joke for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was going to tell a pizza joke, but it was too cheesy.
I love a cheesy joke. Speaking of cheesy, listen to this one. Would a cardboard belt be considered a waste of paper?
That is a really good joke, Lisa.
I'm going to leave the jokes up to you.
Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us. So thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.